My name is Benjamin, as you mentioned, and I'm a third-generation missionary to the country of Argentina. And in 2015, I moved back here to the U.S. and had the opportunity to move back here and go into business and did that for a while in Iowa. And then in 2017, I went back to visit a family there. After visiting them for a couple weeks, I took a bus ride from where they lived, about 8 hours, to another state where I'd get on a flight to come back here. And that evening, I missed my flight. And God had a unique purpose for me missing a flight that day. But I remember calling up a missionary and saying, hey, I missed my flight. Could you come pick me up? And the next day was a Monday morning. I remember him asking me, Benjamin, would you be willing to go out and go soul winning? Go out and knock on doors, invite people to church, share the gospel. And I was like, well, might as well. I mean, I really didn't have anything better to do. And so I was stuck with him a whole week, Sunday through Monday, if you will, and to the following Monday. So I believe that week we knocked on doors for about 4 days, and 4 days, roughly 4 hours a day. And you know what was surprising, Pastor? During that time, we couldn't get out of a four-block radius. 4 blocks. I've never seen anything like this in my life. I've heard stories all growing up in church of things like this, places like this, but this was different. This was in person. And this was seeing a vast number of people that wanted to hear the truth that would set them free. And as we go door to door, knock on doors, and typically you clap your hands in Argentina, and people come out, we get to open the Bible and take 15, 20, 30 minutes and share the gospel presentation with them. And these people are just wide open. And I remember that weekend, the missionary, he took me out in his car and he showed us the city where he is serving about 1.5 million people. And in that city, he started at the southern tip and we started going north. And as we went north, he went showing me different parts. And as he showed me different parts, he showed me a section of about 250,000 people. And he said, Benjamin, I don't believe these people have ever heard a clear gospel presentation. We went on a little bit further, about the middle of the city area. And a second time, he pointed off to his left and he showed another section. And he said, Benjamin, here's another section of the city, lives roughly 250,000 people. I don't think they've ever heard the truth. Then we went on a ways further, and I remember to the far north side of the city, and he pointed off to his right. And for the third time, he said, Benjamin, this section lives here roughly 230,000 to 250,000 people. I don't believe they've ever heard a clear gospel presentation. That day, my heart broke. I remember going back to his house and going to the room where I was staying and just breaking down and crying. Crying out to God, saying, God, why? Why is there nobody here? And it's not fair. I tell God it's not fair. It's not fair that so many people want to hear and there isn't the labor to tell them. I understand this missionary is there working. He's working hard. God was really using him. But one man for 1.5 million people. How much can you do, Pastor, with 1.5 million? Really? So many people that would never hear because of a lack of labors. I remember that day God brought the verse to my mind, truly the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. And at that time in my life, I was living a life that was very selfish, self-centered. I was here in business. I was working, doing very well and prosperous, and things were going very well, but it was all for me. And while I was still in church, still involved, still a good person, you know, going out soul winning, tithing, everything, but my heart was not really where God wanted to be. And that ties really into the message this evening. But I remember that day as God brought that to mind, he's like, you know what, the problem is people like you are living your life instead of what I want for them. That's why these people are not going to hear the truth. And that day was a change in my life, if you will, and just recommitted to God and said, God, I'll do whatever it takes to reach the Argentine people. And I'll give you my life. I'm done living for self. And do whatever it takes to allow me to be able to be used by you to get the gospel to these people. And that's really our passion going forward, and to do whatever it takes. And to go forward with that, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. God has given me a message. I've been praying all evening on exactly what to say, and asking God for guidance. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 19 and 20. It says here, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Verse 20 says here, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures in..." "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." I remember this part of the thieves reminds me, in Argentina we have a lot of problems with theft. And my wife has been robbed on the street, for example, a few times. And I remember one morning at our parents' house. My parents live out in the country, about 25 minutes outside of the city. And one morning we get up and we wake up and we open the door and we walk outside and we look. And I don't know if it was my brother or myself, one of us two, we looked to the right and looked at my dad's car, and it had no wheels on it. And it was just propped up with bricks on all four ends. And we're just kind of in shock and looked at that. And then when we started busting out laughing, we thought it was funny. But and then they were sad at the same time because wheels are expensive. and just life in Argentina. And I remember another time, my pastor, Pastor Owens, and I think I mentioned him to you. He's from Decatur, but a veteran missionary there. And he's been broken into his home countless times. And one night, they heard someone on the roof, walking on the roof. And there they have 10 roofs, and he didn't have a drop-down ceiling like we have here, so you hear everything very clearly. And when they heard someone walking on the roof, and he gets up and he yells to his wife, he says, "Ruth," her name was Ruth, "go get the shotgun." And his wife yells back at him, "We don't have a shotgun." And, oh well. But, different stories. The Bible says here, "Do not lay up treasure on earth, where thieves will break through and steal." If you go, I don't need to turn there for time, but Colossians 3:1 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. If ye be risen with Christ," if you're a child of God, if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, and you've accepted that free gift of salvation, and today you're a child of God, you're adopted into God's family, and we get to be, have the privilege to be called sons of God. And God says here in Colossians 3:1, it says, if we are risen with Christ, if we're a child of God, it says, seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above. My question tonight is, are we seeking for things that are above? Are we really seeking for those things which are eternal? They'll never grow away. It says here, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, which is referring to heaven. It says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You see, God, it lays out a clear pattern for us. We as God's children, God wants us to live for Him. He doesn't want us to live for the things of this world. And what before knowing Christ, we live for the things of this world. But God makes it very clear, and this is just one of so many passages we can look at tonight, where He makes it very clear, He wants us to live for Him. He wants us to live a life investing in eternity. If we go back in Matthew 6, I'm not exactly sure what verse it is, but it's a couple in 19, it's a couple verses further down, probably 21 or 22. says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Here as Americans, this was me. This was me a few years ago. And I believe as a majority, as I travel, as I see, we as Americans live a self-centered life. We live for ourselves first, for others second. I know people say, and it's technically true, we're the most giving nation of the world. And wonderful. Good for that. We send more missionaries out than any other country does in the world. Great. But in all reality, we give so little. And we give of the extra. Most of us give after we've provided for self. And it says here, no man can serve two masters. So what are we living for today? Are we living for God? Or are we living for that next vacation? Or that great retirement? Or that next car? Next boat? Whatever it might be. None of those things are bad. But what are we living for? Truly, what, when we get up each morning, ask yourself, what is it that drives you forward? You get up, you go to work, and you sacrifice, and so many times you do things you don't even enjoy doing, right? Day after day after day. And for what? A lot of times we find we're doing it for ourselves. To provide for our own lust. It says here, no man can serve two masters. What's this mean? That means we can't live for ourselves and God. We can't put ourselves first and say, okay, I'm going to take care of myself and then God. We can only do one or the other. We either live for God or we live for ourselves. And if we're living for ourselves, we can have anything this world has to offer, you can have. But when you die someday, an average American will only live 78 years. Everything we've had on earth will be worthless. Only what we've done for eternity will really matter. You see, that and then that split second when you pass from when you pass from life into death and then back into life again in heaven, in that split second, everything that you did on earth will be worthless if it wasn't for Christ's sake. If it wasn't for eternity's sake. And see, what God is trying to tell us here, he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. God wants us to work, to lay up treasures. You know what? We really don't deserve that. If we look at ourselves, we really deserve, we as human beings, we deserve hell. We really do. We don't even deserve to go to heaven. And God's given us heaven, and then he's given us the opportunity to be called the sons of God, who've been adopted into his family. And then he says, you know what? I'm going to give you a way to build up treasure here in heaven. So the day you get here, you can have an abundance of treasure. And we the Bible talks about crowns, and we don't know if it's that or maybe some other type of treasure. We don't really know exactly. But it does say there will be treasure for us. There will be, and everything we do on earth can either account for accumulating treasure in heaven or not have it. As I think about this, I want to work to have more treasure in heaven. You see, sometimes I get tired of life. I don't know about you, but sometimes, and I know I'm young, but sometimes I just get frustrated. I'm like, I'm done. I'm like, why just the hardship of life? And I tell God, you know what, God? Man, I really prefer. I start thinking about heaven, man. Heaven's an incredible place to be there, and the beauty and everything, but just to be there with our Savior. And I get to thinking about it, I gotta stop and say, no, I gotta stop because man, I desire to be there so much. But then when I think about treasure and I see what God wants to give us, my prayer is to God, God, would you please give me a few more years? Would you please give me more time to have greater treasure in heaven? You see, our life, every day of our life is being invested in either here on earth or in heaven. I like to invest a little bit in the stock market, and I find it very, very interesting. My brother really got me started in that. And when you invest in the stock market, you don't put money in and expect to get nothing back. You put money in and you're expecting to see that grow even if it's a tiny bit, but a little bit over time. And to someday get back with that hope, so maybe someday I can retire and have a good something to take care of me during my retirement, right? And I do this and I intentionally study, okay, where am I going to invest? How am I going to invest? And et cetera, et cetera. And try to wisely invest in that. Well, see, we can do the same with our life, eternally speaking. We can invest our lives for Christ. And you might say, but Benjamin, what does that mean for me today? Because see, investing doesn't pertain to just the missionary or the pastor. It's for all of us. It says here, if we go back to Colossians, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. I'm going to read also here Luke 12:29-33. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags with wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. John chapter 6, verse 27 says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but labor but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Labor not for that meat which perisheth. I know this is very brief, short. I have so much more I could say. But essentially, there's three ways we can invest our life, and we can all do it as a child of God. We can invest our time, we can invest our money, and we can invest in prayer. And I won't get into that. It's a whole another 45 minutes of explaining all that. But we can all invest. And really, I think essentially it breaks down to this. It's really simple. Sometimes we complicate. Christianity is not that complicated. We overcomplicate things sometimes. But I think it really boils down to this. Every morning when we wake up, if our prayer was to God, first of all, God, I want to please you today. I want to do your will. Would you please help me? Would you please guide me what you would have me to do today that would further your kingdom, that would bring you honor and glory? If that was our prayer every morning, if that was our heart's desire, if we get up and we go to work, if we ask God, God, how would you have use me today? How would you use me in my workplace to maybe be able to share with a coworker, be a good testimony? Or how do you want me to use that paycheck I got today? What do you want me to invest? How do you want me to invest it? Or God, I have some free time. I have maybe a few days off coming up. God, how would you have me use that time to invest in your kingdom? If our hearts incline to God in that way and our prayer is such, God will guide us by His Spirit in the path He has for each individual, each one of us, to do His will, to advance His kingdom, and therefore bring Him honor and glory.